And so one of the points that I really want to talk about is that even though rates are higher right now, they're still comparatively low compared to what we have seen over the history of these rates. So many of you probably remember when the 75-20 rate was around 11%. I think that was when it was issued in around 1989. And as I mentioned, it usually hangs out in a range much higher than what we're seeing today. So I think that's a great talking point for clients is that, yes, we did enjoy these relatively low rates after 2008, and we have been spoiled since 2020. But now we're getting back to something that is more along a normal range. And then again, fun fact, I passed the Texas bar exam, and I was in Barber with Professor Johansson. I passed that in November of 2008. And at that time, the 75-20 rate was 3.6%. And I remember the talking points, rates are low, we need to plan, we need to grad. And I think I spent my whole first and second and maybe third year as an associate working on installment sale documents because those were the planning techniques that we were relying upon. And we were telling clients that now is a great time to plan. So I just want everybody to kind of channel that mentality. So how do interest rates affect estate planning? So this is just, like a history lesson or review of the code, but a gift includes any property that's transferred during a donor's lifetime for less than full and adequate consideration, and that's in Section 2511. And if property is transferred in this manner, then the gift for federal gift tax purposes is the excess of the value of the transferred property over the value of the consideration received. And we all know that fair market value of the property is based on that willing seller standard found in the Treasury regulations, and that's also going to be based on the date that the transfer is complete. Now, the service does have special rules for valuing certain types of taxable transfers, and these are the transfers that we're going to be talking about today, estate freezing techniques, and this is going to include charitable and non-charitable actuarial techniques. And these, instead, are going to rely on the actuarial tables as well as interest rates to calculate that taxable gift. Now, when we think about who these types of strategies are really good for, and we're going to talk about the strategies on the next page, they're really ideal for clients that have little or no lifetime exemption remaining. And honestly, those are the vast majority of clients that I deal with have already used their exemption in really smart ways. Or we're dealing with clients that do not want to use their lifetime exclusion for certain transfers. I've worked with clients that want to create grats for siblings because they're just not willing to use that golden exemption on sisters and brothers, but they want to help transfer wealth to them. They're also ideal for our donors who want to retain certain level of control or access to a transferred asset, which in many cases is mostly everybody that I work with. And they work well, again, for clients who want to retain access to funds in the form of either an annuity or an interest payment. And one thing to think about is that when we do have higher interest payments, the donor is going to receive like a lot of liquidity back or more liquidity back than they would have in a lower interest rate environment. And in some cases, this is actually beneficial. I've worked with clients who their estate planning has been so successful and they feel as though they need access to liquidity, or if they take a distribution from a family limited partnership, they're tired of giving distributions to the trust. So there are certain scenarios and situations where a client may be interested in having a higher annuity payment or a higher interest payment back for their own lifestyle needs. And then finally, these types of techniques can be really ideal for clients that are charitably inclined, because when we start talking about those split interest trusts, they allow a client to benefit both individuals and charity, and they're very impactful, again, because of that low transfer tax cost. So some of the strategies that we're going to talk about today are listed on this slide, really, the result or the outcome or the success of these transactions is going to be dependent on the applicable federal rate or the 75-20 rate, whichever is going to be used as the hurdle amount. So we have the intrafamily loan, which is one of the more, I'll call it a simple technique. But that's going to be reliant on the AFR, and then you have a permutation of that, which is the installment sale to an intentionally defective grantor trust, also relying on the AFR. Those are going to work better in a lower interest rate environment. Then we have our good old buddy, the GRAT, that attorney talked about. And those are going to be based on the 75-20 rate as well as the actuarial tables. And they do also perform better in a lower interest rate environment, as well as the charitable GRAT, I call it, the charitable lead annuity trust. And then we have two techniques that we'll talk about today that tend to fare better in higher interest rate environments. And these, I would say, they haven't been in vogue for quite some time because of the interest rate environment, but we're talking about your qualified personal residence trust, or QPERT, which I think has like the cutest acronym in all of estate planning, as well as the charitable remainder annuity trust. And I have noted on there that any transaction that is going to use a unit trust interest is going to be interest rate neutral, not directly affected by interest rates, but interest rates may affect the performance of the underlying assets.